The Eldritch Hour is a horror-themed tabletop roleplay podcast containing violent and mature themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Betwixt the spaces we know, just beyond the fringe of human experience, old and strange things worm their way through the black matter of the universe, uncaring and unyielding. But there is a moment when the mucus-thin veil between our reality and theirs is worn and split. When the other reaches through the cosmic loam and touches an unlucky few. This moment is known as the Eldritch Hour.
Hello, folks. Welcome to another episode of the Eldritch Hour. I'm Josh Richter. I'm going to be your keeper of arcane lore, your host. And I'm joined by three of my very best friends once again. Before we do introductions, however, let's talk a little bit about what we're playing. We are going to be running through The Wild Hunt by Stygian Fox, and it takes place in New England, as all good Lovecraftian tales do, in the classic era of the 20s. And we'll save the rest for play. So going around on my screen, we'll start with Jeanette. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing? And tell us who you're playing. Tell us about them. Tell us how they look, how they smell.
How they smell? Mm. Oh man. I didn't think about that during character creation at all. What does she smell like? Hi, I'm Jeanette. I will be playing Casey Burnett today. Casey is a young and up-and-coming private investigator. She works with her dad. She's pretty small. She's a pretty petite girl, round of face. She's very pretty. A lot of people don't take her seriously. That's her entire shtick, I guess. and I guess she smells like jasmine flowers. We'll go with that.
All right.
The first scent that popped into my head.
You didn't even make Josh roll a smell hidden for that. You just gave that to him.
It's too awesome. Early for rolls, well, man.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have you back, Jeanette. And Eric, welcome back to the show. How are you tonight? And who are you playing? What do they look like? And what's their favorite food?
I'm doing well, snowed in for the last day or so, but we're all good. I am playing a Irish descendant, Bostonian native, 20-some-odd-year-old dude named Finn Balor, and he smells like a 5'11", 170-pound person who is a driver by profession, has a real nice custom modeled
gross.
Out.
Like full yes, gross. He probably, smells gross.
Probably. He smells like a male. So, yeah.
Ew. Hate
like
it already.
Hair, oil, and cigarette.
So Finn's a driver, a really family oriented guy. Strong relationship with his parents. They're not dead or nothing. Everybody's all alive. He really likes his car. It's a custom out. Model T back in the 20s, almost like one of the very beginning hot rod type cars. So it's going to look really cool. Just imagine a really cool 1920s Model T, and that's what it is.
Yeah, just
that's
Google
that's his whole personality.
1920s hot rod, because that's what he did when he and he sent me a bunch of pictures to choose from. So
yeah,
I picked one, and he told me it was the lamest one. So.
It was the most conservative looking
it was
picture
yeah
in the
it
group
definitely
of six.
Was
But yes, that's awesome. That's Finn Balor.
Excellent. Well, and last but by no means least, welcome back to the show, Joey. How are you? And tell us who you're playing tonight and what's the last thing. Eric didn't answer the question, so what's their favorite food?
So hi, I'm Joey, and I'm pretty good. How are you, Josh?
I'm good. I don't know why, but I'll confess to the listeners, more nervous than usual. I think it's because we haven't played in a while, haven't recorded in a while. So I don't know. I got those like exciting jitters again. So
same.
But good. I'm good.
That's good.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, no problem. I will be reprising the role of Luther Nichols, who you probably just finished listening to, get into the escapades he did in. Jeanette wasn't there for that, so I will not spoil anything outside of any subtext or context she picks up through the course of play. Probably Ruth's famous sandwiches is his favorite food.
Sure.
Hell yeah.
Spends a lot of time at Ruth's.
What does Luther smell like? Just off the top of your head. For my reference.
He smells like cheap cologne and cigarettes. Lots of cigarettes. He smokes a lot.
That makes sense. Yeah. That seems accurate.
With that, let's lift the curtain. On a chill December morning, December 3rd, in fact, bright, well, not so bright, actually. In fact, it is still very much dark outside, as it is very, very early. As in a small apartment in Southend, Boston, Finn Balor is getting slapped in the face.
Oh.
Out of his sleep.
Oh, okay.
Not hard, but several pats on the cheek kind of pull you out of sleep. Hey, buddy, wake up. Come on, Finn.
Oh, yeah.
Get up.
Yeah. I'm up. What's going on?
It's Mikey, your cousin. He's standing over you full dress. Hey.
Christ,
hey.
Mikey, what you doing, man?
Hey, I'm here on orders. Big Joe sent me. There's been a murder.
What?
Another one.
Another one? Who was it this time?
It's France. Karina France. Now, I know you don't know her, but she had some contracts with the boss. And, I was supposed to go look into her. She hadn't made contact in a couple days. And I found her body. It's still there. I immediately called Big Joe. And he told me to get you. And I guess he's got a job for you. You're gonna have to go see him. I don't know what he wants, but he says it had to be you.
Oh, shit. Fuck, Christ, Mike. Give me my pants. We'll drive right over there.
All right. Yeah, get yourself together.
All right, yeah, I'm gonna get my stuff ready and head on over to Big Joe's.
All right. As you're driving over, we're gonna cut over to Arkham. Also a chill night, snow falling. About 3 a.m. And your phone rings, Luther, in the office as you are asleep on the couch, as you've done many nights over the past couple months.
Ugh. What the hell? What time is it?
I take quite a long time to answer it.
Yeah, it rings and rings and rings. It's not stopping.
I light a cigarette in that time and answer the call.
Yeah. Who is it?
Hey, is this the office of Luther Nichols? Nichols and Dimes?
Yeah, it is. You don't have a watch, do you? It's 3 a.m.
I apologize about that. It's Murdoch, Detective Murdoch from Boston. I know I'm a little of a clip away. I really do apologize for calling you at this early hour. It's kind of important. What's your caseload look like these days, Luther? You and your team?
Well, me and my team, we're not taking on tons of cases lately. Why?
Well, I got, how much do you read the papers?
Well, you just woke me up from a rousing nap, under cover of said paper, so all the time, Murdoch.
You've seen those two Irish chaps been murdered in the last couple days, I suspect, yeah? Kind of made the front page.
Yeah? What about it?
Well, I've got an interested party, telling me there's been another. But, I know it sounds weird, me being a police detective calling you up. And, me and the boys, we'd handle this ourselves, but given this, a pattern's starting to form, and, we kind of spread thin. I've been instructed by a benefactor of our precinct to reach out and get some outside help to maybe skirt some jurisdictional issues. And you came highly recommended.
And by who, might I ask, recommended me?
I don't know if I should really say, but I can tell you that they're the sort of people that you don't really say no to.
I haven't met anybody like that before, Murdoch, but sounds like it's going to be a pretty high-paying job, no?
Yeah. Yeah, you could say that. You could also say you might end up being owed a favor or two by some influentials across multiple state lines. This is a connection-making job, besides monetary value. And it's got to be done quick. I got a dead girl in an alley. And it'd be an awful lot like the other two cases you've been seeing on the news.
All right. Give me the details. And I'll head your way.
I don't know her name yet. I haven't even seen the body. I've been contacted by this beneficiary and told to get someone down there before my boys get down there. I know that's very weird. But they want a fresh set of eyes rather than the cops. They don't trust us, if I'm frankly honest.
We ain't got any local boys doing PI business out there.
Well, that's another one of the particulars. You're going to be coordinating your efforts with a local business. Burnett and Fisk, they operate out of Boston. Maybe you heard of them.
Can't say that I have, no.
All right, well, when you get to town, you look them up. And you head there first. I want everyone going to the scene together, and I'll meet you there shortly after. It'll take you, what, about an hour to get down here?
Yeah, I think I can swing that, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Nichols.
Don't mention it.
We'll talk in more detail when I see you in person.
Yeah, I think Nichols just hangs the phone up.
Cutting back to Finn, Mikey pulls you up in front of Grandpop's big house. The big house. And he says, all right, Finny boy, go on in. I'm going to wait out here.
Yeah. It's usually my job. And
yeah, I know. He just wanted to talk to you.
All right. Head on in to the big house.
Yeah, you go in. Been here before a couple times. Family gatherings and whatnot.
Just here last week for Thanksgiving.
Step in. You step in through the parlor and you head to the study that you know Josiah Big Joe Baylor or Balor usually spends most of his time in. And lo and behold, he's sitting there in his favorite armchair behind his favorite oaken desk. Little green banker's lamp turned on, cigar smoke filling the room.
Hey, Finny boy, good to see ya.
Hey, Grandpops, how you doing?
It's always a pleasure. I'm sorry getting you up at this hour, my boy.
And he grabs you by the cheek and kind of shakes it, you know, and pats you on the shoulder with the other hand.
Exactly. Grandpops, you know you can call in any time.
Yeah, you're always good. Always stepping to. That's good of ya.
And he says, have a seat. Have a cigar. And he opens up the cigar case on the desk.
Yeah, I'll take one. Have a seat. Yeah. So what's all this about, Grandpops?
Well, I'll tell you what. So, I know you know I got a lot of contacts, and one of them didn't check in last night as she's supposed to. Turns out she's dead. Now, I'd normally send some of the other boys to take care of this sort of thing. Hell, I'd even leave it up to the coppers. But
Grandpops, you know I don't get rid of bodies. That's not my thing.
No. Nothing like that. I want you to coordinate with some outsiders. We're hiring some private detectives. Not affiliated with the cops. You see, I'm sure you've seen the news. You've heard the rumblings through the family. Not a lot of love for us Irish. These local boys anymore.
That's the truth.
Now, I know you always want to prove yourself, and you're a good lad. And this is your shot. I'm telling you, you do this for me. You got a bright future ahead of you, Finny boy.
Grandpa, you know I'm
He takes
do
a
this,
long, man. Yeah, long big drag on his cigar.
You really sure we can trust these outsiders? They ain't like us. I'll work with them, but what makes you think that, you know, they ain't gonna go turn their backs on us? Everyone else does.
Let me put it to you this way. If they don't play ball, we ain't gotta bring down any repercussions on family, if you know what I mean. They can play Fall Guy if they don't do their job.
All right. Well, what you want me to do with them? You want me just to drive them around like a normal job?
You do what you do best. You make sure that they go where they're supposed to. Get from point A to point B. But I want you to keep your nose in it. Pay attention. Learn a thing or two from the professionals. And relay some information back to me and the boys when you think it's pertinent. I'm trusting you with this, Finny boy. This is a big job. But I know you'll handle it, right?
Oh, you got that
you
right,
just stick
Grandpa.
To him. Stick to him like a little kid with his ice cream cone.
All right. Yeah, I can do that.
As a lad. Now, I'm going to give you an address. All right? You're going to go pick up this private investigator. His name's Sanford Burnett. All right? From Burnett and Fisk. Works out here in the South End.
Yeah, I know what that place is.
All right. Now, when you get there, though, you gotta wait. We got another guy coming from Arkham.
All the way from Arkham? That's a drive.
Yeah, I know, but it comes recommended. He's done some casework that, the coppers just don't ever seem to get right. This man gets results, so I want him in. I know he's gonna do justice for us Irish folk.
All right, what's this guy's name?
Nichols. Luther Nichols.
All right, Grandpops. Anything else you want me to do?
No, that's it. You take that hot rod of yours and you get down there. I'm having the Detective Murdoch give this place a call. Let him know you're coming.
All right. I think I can get this. Always willing to help out the family, Grandpops. You know that.
That's a good lad. And he stands up and he grips your shoulder like real tight. Kind of shakes you a bit. Smiles. So take another cigar for the road there, Finny boy.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, all right, Grandpops?
I know you will, my lad. I know you will.
All right, I'm going to give him a hug. Love you, Grandpops. All right. And then I'm going to head out.
I love you too, Sonny boy.
Get back to the... Hey, Mike, you take a walk.
All right. So you're taking the job then. Oh, good. This is going to be good for you, Finn.
Yeah.
What do you want? What do you want?
Well, I gotta meet some investigators. Got me on the case now. Unofficially.
P.I.? Are you a P.I.? Oh, that's awesome.
I'm going to get me a badge and everything. Watch out, if any boy's going legit.
Ah, Baylor clan moving up. Yeah. You know, fishing life's all for me. Yeah.
You salty bastard. Get out of here. I'll see you soon, Mikey.
Yeah, you too, Finn. And he puts his hands in his pockets and just starts strolling down the street.
leaves
you with the car. Yeah. Nope. No, he lives nearby. You know that. Cut over to now, Casey. Would you? Where do you? I assume you have a home. Do you live by yourself, or do you live?
I think she still lives with her pops. I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I imagine they lived in an apartment above the office. And I imagine she still is there.
Okay. Your phone in the apartment is ringing, Miss Burnett. Mm. And you notice no one else is waking up to get it. Like, it's just ringing and ringing.
Oh, yeah, that sounds all right. Okay, yeah. Then I think she's not slow, but she does, when she realizes that her pops is not picking up the phone, she just immediately gets up and goes for it.
Okay. Yeah, you enter the living room. You realize what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's only about 3 a.m. And you pick up the receiver and you hear a...
Hello?
Hello? Who's calling at this hour?
Sorry, miss. I Detective Murdoch, is your father home? Looking for Sanford Burnett.
He's busy. Can I take a message?
No, I really need to speak with him.
Well, urgent. I'm his receptionist, so you can either leave a message or he gets nothing.
Receptionist, okay. You don't take cases then?
That depends who's asking.
Well, this is a police matter.
If it's a police matter, I can take the message and we will figure out who is the best for the case.
All right. I'm sorry. I know it's early. I know. My name's Murdoch. I'm sure we've interacted in the past. Katarina,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, I remember you.
Yes, well, look, I've got a murder. I'm sure you've seen the papers. There's been a couple pretty grisly murders on Irish folks last couple days. Well, I'm gonna break it to you straight. You got someone coming to the office right now on their way to pick you up and meet you and another private investigator.
I don't quite understand. So someone's coming to the office right now?
Yeah, right now. You've heard of Josiah Ballor.
Yeah.
You know, head of the Irish Mafia.
Yeah, his name's made across the papers a few times.
Yeah, well, apparently this person that's been killed has connections with him, and he's interested. And he doesn't want cops on the case, at least not right away. He wants a fresh set of eyes on things. And it kind of coordinates some effort with the other murders, too. Now that there's starting to be a pattern. And, he wanted you. You and another guy named Nichols out of Arkham. I guess he insisted that more than one firm take the case together. I guess he wants it handled quick and real quiet. Out of the press.
Now, did he say he wanted me or he wanted Pops?
He just said Burnett and Fisk. So, I mean, if Pops is busy, that leaves you. And considering you... There's someone on your... On the way to your doorstep right now. It might have to be you, lady.
Well, thank you for the tip, I guess.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna be on scene. The cops will still have fingers in this. I want you to know, it's unavoidable. We gotta maintain perimeter and all that good stuff. He just wants somebody there before the crowd starts to gather.
I understand.
Make sure things are collected and, you know, a trail is found before things get caught up in all the red tape.
Understood. Well, someone will be available to meet your driver.
Excellent. Now, if you could do me the favor, treat the guy they're sending as if he was one of your own, okay? I was told that's real important. And I don't need the mafia breathing down my neck any more than they already are.
So, wait, you want me to solve a case and also befriend the driver?
He's gonna be with you. For everything.
Alright. Casey's gonna, like, do that, like, thing where she looks around a corner to see if she can see, like, her dad's room and see if she can see him inside.
You notice the bed is tossed as if your father has left or not yet come home.
Got it. Alright, thank you, Detective Murdoch.
You're welcome. I apologize again, miss, for the late hour.
Yeah, well, crime never sleeps.
That it doesn't.
And he hangs up the phone.
Guess Casey's getting dressed. Begrudgingly.
All right. We're going to fast forward a little. Luther's made his drive to Arkham. Luther, would you, or from Arkham, yes, to Boston, has arrived in Boston. Luther, would you head straight to the firm, the other agency, or would you be making any stops or anything as you enter the city?
I think Luther, what time would it be? So it'd be like 4 a.m. when he gets into town?
Yeah, roughly, unless you took your time getting ready or anything before leaving.
Sure. I would imagine that gas stations aren't operated at this hour, are they?
Probably not. No.
Yeah. Do they have 24-hour pay in the 20s?
I don't think
Well, it's also, there's also like no self-service yet. It's not
it's not a thing yet.
So
be a pump jockey. Yeah. And I doubt there's a 24-hour pump jockey service at any of the gas stations. Maybe an out-of-town one, like on a roadside diner or something, like on the way you might have been able to, but not in city.
No, so, I would say I'd like to make sure my tank is as topped off as I can manage it.
Okay.
So that I can escape should I need to. Because this sounds like a trap.
Wow. Wow, it really does. It really does, though.
So yeah, that would be the only thing that I would like lose time on, I think, at some stage during the journey. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Otherwise headed straight to the other.
I think so.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You pull up in front of, Burnett and Fisk and you notice the lights are on, in the office downstairs.
I, make sure that my, my 38 is loaded and I holster it. Light a fresh cigarette, step out the car, and approach the door.
Okay.
Is it like a window situation? Like, can I see into the place?
Yeah. Well, Miss Burnett, would you describe your office?
Yeah, so the door, it's like a single door. It's like a full window door. But the only other building facing isn't into the office. So you can't see into the office directly. Like, the windows are smaller, basically. There isn't one of those big show windows where you can see everything that's happening. That's not a thing that's happening.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, I'll knock, I guess. Can I make a spot hidden about the street?
Sure.
Just look. He's suspicious right now. He's just looking around, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Boom. That's a great start for the show. That's an 89 out of 80 on a spot hidden. It's regular fail.
Jesus, what the
Nothing unusual or okay. Noteworthy.
Cool. Yeah, I knock at the door. It's a pretty
Casey.
Unapologetic middle of the night. Not it's like a daytime knock.
I figured as much. Casey was probably at her desk. And then, she just slowly makes sure that her 38 is loaded before walking to the door.
We're going to kill each other here at this door.
Well, it's a full window door, so she'll see you. We'll see each other the minute she steps into view. Around the corner or whatever, but yeah. She gotta be safe, you know, she works with her dad. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah, it's true. You answer the door and Luther, describe yourself. What does Casey see? And then vice versa. Since this is the first time meeting.
Shit, I don't. Rugged, muscular, slicked back, black hair in an undercut style, dark stubble, salt and pepper with gray, slim, pronounced jawline. And I wrote it here in the personal description a long time ago, and it's true now. Consistently has a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. he's got a charcoal like waistcoat vest, loose black tie, black suit that looks like it was pretty slick once upon a time.
Nice.
Or he lived in.
Hmm. I'll just read my personal description, I guess. What Luther sees is a shorter and more petite woman than other women her age, with a rounded face and large eyes, often looking way younger and more innocent than she actually is. She has her blonde hair tightly curled behind her head in a bun. She's wearing modest amount of makeup and earrings. She has like a button-up blouse with a vest over it and a skirt. Clearly, like, still getting, like, still not having left for the day already. She doesn't have, like, a coat or a hat or anything like that on. And yeah, just looking at you very inquisitively and concerned and confused.
Yeah, also to note, his size is 60. He's a pretty big dude.
She's 45, so yeah. There's a substantial difference.
Yeah.
She like slightly pushes the door open, like does that thing where like you like have it open, but your foot is in like between, so like slowly open it, and she's like, "Who are you?"
I'm Luther. I was called to, meet some mysterious parties here. I've come a long
Nickels
way.
Nickels and dimes?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. She pushes the door all the way open.
Are you Fisk or Burnett?
I'm Burnett.
Pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Pushes the door open.
Mm-hmm. Handshake. Reaches hand out.
Yeah, handshake. Gestures for you to come inside. Do you like
can
the shaky color of your hat? Yes, you can smoke in here.
No. Thank you.
And yeah, like, as you, I guess, should I describe the interior of the office?
Yeah, if you want to. Yeah, it's your office.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's why I wanted to ask you, Josh, because...
Yeah.
As you walk in, there's like a main room. It has like a larger desk in the center that has like a little nameplate at the front, but the nameplate just says reception, like or receptionist. Like it just, but and there's two chairs in front of it. Then there's two like doors to the either side, leading to two separate offices. One is closed and the other is open. And there's like a small little like, I guess what would be like a snack bar in the 1920s or a coffee bar in the 1920s where you can get like coffee or whatever. And there's like an ashtray over there too. Whatever. But yeah, that's the spiel of the office. That's the layout of it, I guess.
Is it like pretty small? Like the building?
Yeah, it's like it the building isn't super small, but it just looks even smaller since the room is like cut off by like two other offices on either side or like the offset offices.
Sure.
So it just feels like a more narrow room than it is wide. But the building is like a decently sized building.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Casey basically leads the way back and sits at her desk at the reception chair and sits down and then gestures to one of the chairs in front of her.
Thanks, I'm all right. What's this about?
I don't know. I just got a phone call this morning.
What do you mean you don't know?
All I know is there's a driver coming to pick us up to go investigate a murder. Another one in the string of three we've been... Or I guess this would be the third in the string of three.
So you don't know anything either?
No. We've been hired by... Well, we've been hired by a mob boss. That's what I was able to get out.
Which mob boss would that be exactly?
I believe he said the Irish one, which makes sense.
Is that all you know so far?
Yeah, until I see the body, I don't know much else.
You didn't happen to speak to a Murdoch on the phone, did you?
Yeah, that was him.
Do you have previous history with the man?
A few here and there.
Trustworthy source, then.
What can I get, like, would he be trustworthy?
Yeah, let's go with a... Let's just go with an intelligence roll. You're going to get information regardless, but the level of your success will determine kind of how much you know about Detective Murdoch.
A 53 out of 80.
You know Detective Francis Murdoch from the Boston Police Department to be a pretty respectable member of the community. He has struck you as the type of person to really want to have the right balance between kind of corruption in the form of like keeping a lot of like higher profile crime and stuff within the ranks of the police kind of contained, but also you definitely notice he's like, he does turn kind of a blind eye to like small crime. He definitely has always come across as the type of person who feels families should be taken care of. People should generally stick together. And has made it very much notable on more than one occasion that prohibition is little more than a scam for the rich to get even richer. So.
Fucking Murdoch's he fucking knows his shit.
Visionary.
Yes. Out of his time. Overall seems to be generally a stand-up guy, but kind of picks and chooses what he wants to punish, sort of a thing.
Here's a random question, throwing you on the spot. Did he arrest my uncle?
He was not the one to arrest your uncle.
Okay. He's one of the more respectable ones on the force, but he's a little wishy-washy sometimes.
I can relate to that.
Not entirely sure what that means, but all right.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I would say that Luther is like staring daggers at you, probably like just
she's
waiting
just
for some kind of a
back.
Sign or a slip up. Can I make a spot hidden in here, John?
Sure. What are you looking for?
Just signs of other people, because she mentioned one door was open into one of the offices. I don't know, sign of struggle, anything like she's not actually the person she says she is, or and she's just like in this space kind of thing, maybe.
Yeah.
74 out of 80.
I would say, Casey, you probably have some like accoutrements on your desk that would define you as an individual.
There's like a photo of like me and like my dad, and like behind her there would be like a filing cabinet, and there would be a photo frame on there of her and like her pops and Uncle Morgan and her cousin, and just like all like just standing together. Probably, you know what? It's a photo of them standing outside the office together. Because they all work together at the office. There you go.
When was this photo taken? How old is this photo?
Probably, it would have been when she was still a teen. Because that's when her cousin was with them. So,
is it right before he left?
Yeah.
Would he be wearing the garb he was leaving in?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So this photo has a young gentleman in military garb, a chap with dark hair, slicked back, pretty big smile on his face, recognizable to some other people from another time and another story. Besides the family photo, there does not appear to be around you any signs of struggle. Like, the office seems lived in, but not recently under any form of duress. If you peer back maybe to the other door that is open, it looks like another, like a proper office, and doesn't look too disturbed.
Did Murdoch tell you anything about why they hired me?
I didn't ask.
So are we just waiting here then?
Is there anything else you want to know?
There's a lot of things I want to know. Yeah.
Finn, how do you drive your hot rod? Are you a careful driver? I know you're somewhat of a thrill seeker. So would they hear you coming around the corner as you're approaching?
At 4 a.m. where there's zero traffic on the streets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So when Luther asks, so are we just going to wait then? you hear like the squeal of tires around the corner and this. Well, do you want to describe the car, Finn? Which car? The car that pulls up very abruptly, just missing Luther's vehicle as it comes to a stop on the curb.
So it's tough for me to describe. So Eric in real life is not a car person, so I'm not real sure how to paint this picture.
It's got it's four red wheels
and it's pretty.
Yeah, it's a Model T. So the hood, it does have the engine showing a bit. Like that top part of that is all chromed and you know, cleaned out and looks real nice. It's got a little bit of a rear cab seating. There's no flames on the side or nothing like that. And you probably can't tell the color at this time of day, but it is a dark maroon color.
Does it have a loud exhaust? I imagine it does.
No, for other reasons.
Mm.
It does not have a loud exhaust.
All right.
It has no exhaust. We took it out, actually.
Yeah.
It is a
that exhaust. Would be so loud.
Yeah, you pull up, Finn, at this time you're arriving, and after you park, you know, you maybe check the two pieces of paper that you realized Grandpops slipped into your coat pocket when he hugged you. One is the address for this establishment, Burnett and Fisk. And you look down at that and it matches. And the other having the corner where the back alley where the body is written on it.
All right. I'm going to fold those up and put those in my backpack. I'm not actually wearing a jacket, by the way. I'm wearing a sweater.
Sure. Yes. Okay. Yeah, he would have.
Park. I'll take my fingerless driving gloves off and put those on the dash and head into or go up to the door and knock.
The sound of the knock. Casey's just like, just like pushes out. She's like, excuse me. She just walks around Luther.
I'm gonna poke my head into the open door while she leaves.
Rude. Absolutely rude. Wow. But once again, Casey's gonna make sure that her, you know, her gun is on her and she's secure before she approaches the door and slowly opens it.
Okay.
Who are you?
You want to describe yourself, Finn?
Yeah, so I'm wearing a hat like Josh has on right now.
Black cap.
Yeah. Scally cap. Yeah.
I got khaki pants on, a white t-shirt underneath with suspenders, and then I have a red sweater with golden letters that say Harvard across the front. I'm going to take off my hat. Oh. Morning, ma'am. I'm looking for a brunette. I was sent here to pick up a couple of people. Do you know anything where I can... Are they in here?
You the driver?
Yeah, that's me. I'm the driver. My name's Finn Balor. It's a pleasure to meet you, ma'am. And I extend my hand.
Pleasure. Come on in. You can take a seat. Just like opens the door all the way and leads him in.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you much. I'll head in.
Do I catch Luther peeking into places he shouldn't peek into?
He's going through doors.
Yeah, I wanted to peek inside the open office while she answered the door.
Okay, which office is open?
It is Morgan's is open.
Okay, yeah, you'll see. I imagine a little placard that says Morgan Fisk on it, PI, and stack of papers in, you know, manila folders and such, little banker's lamp, a couple filing cabinets, more pictures probably, I imagine, right, Casey, of family members, you, your dad.
Yeah, if it looks like an ordinary, like, investigator's space, then I'll just move to put my cigarette out in by the coffee bar or whatever wherever you had mentioned that the ashtray was.
All right. Yeah, the other two are approaching in then.
Is this us?
Yeah, this is the driver.
Nice to meet you, sir. I assume you're Mr. Nichols?
That's me. And who might you be?
My name is Finn Balor, sir. And I'll extend my hand. Nice to meet you. I was told you're really good at what you do. One of the best.
You were. Who might I ask told you that?
Everyone knows around here, but my grandfather told me.
Everyone knows, huh?
Well, yeah, imagine so. I mean, word travels fast around Boston here. You know the right people, you know everything about them.
I do find that that's true, Finn. Yes. Are we meant to be somewhere soon?
Yeah, I got the address. Do you guys, y'all ready to go?
Casey's gonna grab her coat, her fedora, and her camera, and say, yeah, let's go.
Car's still warm, so shouldn't be a problem there.
Lead the way, Mr. Finn.
Alrighty. Head back to the car, and I'll wait and hold the door open for the lady, for Miss Burnett.
Oh, yeah, I locked the office door.
There has been no sign of your father, obviously, in the office this whole time either, which should be apparent, but as I mentioned, he was not in his bed either, so.
As expected from the old man.
then you hop in the car and travel to a back alley in the south end. And as you start to like slow down when you get near the street, Finn, your headlights catch just the edge of a person slumped in an alleyway just off the street. And you stop the car and get out. Are you approaching right away? Or are you, I don't know if any of you are like scoping the place out or anything like that before you.
What's the layout of our space?
Okay. So you are kind of in a tight street. Neighborhood's pretty low class. a lot of very identical, rundown brick apartment buildings through here. A lot of the lower floors are like, you know, street-facing establishments are like a couple of bars, which are obviously currently closed at this hour, a local grocer, and maybe like a tool shop across the street. And it's quiet. And you are not near, like, you're maybe about a half a block to a block, let's say about a half block from the corner, like an intersection, where this alley cuts in, bisecting this block in half both ways. And as Finn is pulled up, the alley is off to the left-hand side, where you can see just the edge of like a woman's bare shoulder on the brick wall a few feet inside the alley in the snow.
Are the police here, or is it just us?
There is no one here. It is now maybe 4:30, 4:45 in the morning. So no other people out yet as well. Still dark.
Can I make a spot hidden? I want to see if there's like footprints, trails in the snow leading in or out maybe, or maybe get an idea of how many sets.
Sure.
If possible. Yeah. Or if maybe they've been covered by the snow by now or whatever. Just any of that.
Sure. The snow is very thin. You're welcome to give me a spot hidden, yeah.
76 out of 80 regular success.
Dang, you're riding the line today.
For real, this is not a good sign.
Hey, at least that hasn't been a string of 90s, so.
It's true.
Knock on all of the wood.
Yeah. So the snowfall has only really started, like there's a very thin dusting, right? And some of it is already melted on the street. And this winter has been unseasonably warm, historically for Boston. So, a lot of the snowfalls so far at the end of November here in early December have not really stuck, and this is no different. It's pretty wet. But there is, you do notice there is a set of like what look to be maybe boot prints leading towards the alley. And then what appears to be an identical set, like that you can tell the boot prints stop at the edge of the alleyway. They don't go into the alley. And there's a little bit of a, almost said scuffle, but like,
shuffling,
like disarray in the snow. Yeah, shuffling, like that the person did a 180 and the stride is longer going back as if they ran.
Perhaps suggesting the person who maybe found the body and then went to report
it. Yeah,
it
certainly could be that. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
But obviously without going into the alley, you don't really see anything else. There doesn't appear to be any other footprints or tracks of any kind up and down this sidewalk, at least this chunk where you're at. So.
Tell me, Finn, I've been in the dark since I got here. What do you know about what's going on today?
Just that there's another body, another killing, another Irish, well, an Irish lass in this case, but another one of my people. Getting taken out. We're the first here, first on the scene. The cops ain't even got here yet. So, I'm here to watch you, learn from you.
Sounds like somebody's afraid you're being targeted. You know anybody who really hates your family, or
try the entire really American
hates
people.
Irish people. Yeah. I meant more specific human beings, Finn.
Are you paying attention to the politics over in this town? That they're trying to push my people out every chance they get. Got the politicians fighting for us. They're getting cut off. They don't want us here. Not really fucking fair if you ask me, but...
I wouldn't say so either. I guess we better get in there.
Do you point out the boot prints to Casey?
Nope.
Or would I notice them on my own?
I think if you're looking for them, if Luther's following that direction, it would be easy to pick up on. But if you're not really looking for them, obviously, like, the snow isn't, again, it's not,
I just want to take a picture of them.
Immediately apparent. Oh, sure.
Yeah,
if you want to give me a photography roll.
No, it's a real bad picture. Uh-oh. It's a real bad picture.
Oh, no.
It's a real bad picture. Is that 80 out of 45?
Hard to take a picture of snow.
Yeah. It's also dark. You know, I get it.
It is dark. So, yeah, if you're not taking time to, like, have a tripod and, like, a proper flash and stuff, like, you approach the alleyway. Finn, are you going along with?
I'm trailing behind Luther.
Okay. Yeah, you all approach the alleyway and you see the slumped form of what would appear to be a young woman's body. But the head is missing. And there's a large spray of blood across the brick wall right behind the body. And her skin is a little pale from the cold night air, wearing a very fashionable yellow dress, and a light jacket, kind of slumped down her shoulders. And the head is not too far away on the ground. A mess of dark, short hair covering the face. A pool of blood having formed around it. And I'll need you all to make sanity rolls.
Thank you all so much for listening. If you would like to contact the show, there's a number of ways in which you can do so. Reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at The Eldritch Hour. You can email us at TheEldritchHour@gmail.com. And you can join our Discord community, a link provided in the show notes. If you enjoy what we do, please consider supporting the show. We have a Patreon campaign, a Ko-fi page, or you can purchase merch and even the music made for the show. Links to all of these provided in the show notes as well. The biggest way to support us is by word of mouth. Please consider telling a friend or someone you think may be interested in the show, or go the extra step and write us a review on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app, if applicable. Until next time, thanks again for listening.